I am not in a shelter from the winter when your head is buried in the sand. Why do the secret sellers explain things, things I already understand? And you, who do you think I am? Yes, you, who do you say I am? Once when I was flying past the steeple, the bells were ringing in my ears. I was counting the broken-hearted people, and I was following their tears. I am not sinking in the sadness, I am not throwing bitter stones. I do not worry who will mind me, I am not dancing alone.
Some quiet mood music, some soothing sounds.
Well, then never listen to Life During Wartime, because they just play really obnoxious DIY punk from local bands and international acts. Sometimes they have bands play live, and it's all with the yelling and the screaming and the I don't like my mom and dad or my teachers and all that kind of stuff. That's Life During Wartime, every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KABU. Consider adding KABU to your will, or add KABU as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change. But recognizing KABU along with your family and friends in your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KABU to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact us at 503-231-8032 or email development@kabu.fm to notify us of your plans.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is a veteran's voice.
Do you mind if I sit here down by your grey side, and I'll rest for a while in the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day, Lord, and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the glory's fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died quick, and I hope you died clean. Or Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the five lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And did you leave a wife for a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory and shine. And though you died back in 1916, to that loyal heart, are you always 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, forever enshrined behind some glass pane, in an old photograph torn and tattered and stained, and fading to yellow in a brown leather frame? Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Sun shining now on these green fields of France. The warm wind blows gently and the red poppies dance. The trenches have vanished long under the plough. No gas and no barbed wire, no guns firing now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses in mute witness stand to man's blind indifference to his fellow man, and the whole generation who were butchered and damned. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lower ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And I can't help but wonder now, Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? You really believe that this war would end war? The suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing, the dying, it was all done in vain. For Willie McBride, it all happened again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest?
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin and Ty's engineering. And as usual, I want to say hello to my good friends Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy out in Aloha, and Mitty and her grandchildren, plus my buddy Jim out in Gresham. I wanted to play that song today because I want to talk a little bit about something that's affected my family, about war and death and war, and thinking about what's going to be like for the people in Gaza, in the West Bank, and in Lebanon, and in Syria. How it's going to affect the rest of their lives when their families have been slaughtered by Zionist Israeli bombs and troops, and how that's going to affect the children who have that survive this onslaught. How it's going to affect the rest of their lives. How it's going to affect the mothers and the fathers the rest of their lives. You know, one of the best recruiting tools ever is survivors of illegal, unjust, horrifying war against them. And that is the people of Gaza and the West Bank. Since October 7th of 2003, the Zionists have arrested and confined about 14,000 West Bank folks. And about 800, they've killed about 800 people in the West Bank. We can never take our eyes off what's happening to those folks. Also, we can't turn our backs on Sudan either, because that's really going on, really hurting the civilians. In 3 days, folks, there's going to be a change in the government, and it's going to be a nasty one. My friend sent me a text, and he said, on January 20th, an Orange Reich will cover the United States. Because we called George W. Bush, I don't like him either, but Donald Trump, you know, because of his skin, he puts that orange stuff on him. So we call it the Orange Reich. Is going to be... I don't like him. We did really well on our end of the year fundraising, and that was really good. I want to thank everybody who donated to this wonderful radio station. It's going to be a lot going on next year that we need to be really up on, and also the wonderful music and other programs, like the program just before this one, when they were talking about breakfast. But I thought, I didn't eat breakfast this morning, but I'm going to have something breakfast after I leave. And you can still donate to our station by going to kboo.fm. And right at the very top of the web page, there's a thing that says donate. Just hit that, and you go through the process. Or you can do like I do. I send a check to KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And you can do that. My cousin Bill, who's also a Vietnam veteran, he was a combat medic in Vietnam, and our uncle Eldred was killed in Korea. The Korean War started in 1950, and he was killed in October of 1951. He graduated from high school in Myrtle Creek. And at that time, he had joined the Oregon National Guard. He wanted to be in a family of soldiers. You know, my family's fought in the wars from the Revolutionary War on, and my father and He had two brothers that fought in World War II, and then I have four altogether family members that fought in World War II. But Eldred, he joined the National Guard, and he joined active duty in early 1951. I have pictures of him. He's just a kid. He was just a kid. I have pictures of him, you know, in his army uniform, and I have two letters that were sent to my father. I left them back at my home, but my cousin Bill, cousin Bill wanted to take pictures of all the stuff that I had on Uncle Eldred. And so he came out to the house, him and Kay came out to the house, and he took pictures, and we talked. And that's what brought this up, and thinking about what the wars are going on right now in this country. Like I say, he was activated. He went into the regular army and went to California. He went down. He hitchhiked from Myrtle Creek down to Fort Roberts in California. I'm not sure where that was. I don't think it's there now. For training. I have a picture of him in his uniform with his duffel bag with all of his stuff in it, standing by the side of the road hitchhiking to go to California. He went down to California and got he was in tanks. He was a loader in a tank. What he would do, he would put the rounds into the gun, and then the gunner would fire the rounds out, and then he would take the expended shell and throw it out and put another round in. That was his job. He was a loader in a tank. He went through his training at Camp Roberts, and then they sent their tanks to the port of Oakland, and then the troopers got on the ship and sailed to Korea. I was really young there, but I have a couple of memories of Eldred. And the night before he took off for Camp Roberts, he came up to our house. My dad and Eldred were really close. There was 8 years difference in their age. But my dad and Eldred were very close. And he came up to say goodbye to us. I just have brief memories of that part of Eldred. He came up and he played with toys with me and my sister Carlene, and my dad gave him a hunting knife to take with him to Korea. My dad talked, this is what later my dad and I talked about it, and he talked about what he told Eldred what it was going to be like and everything, and to, you know, be careful and all that. Eldred then left. Like I say, he caught a hitchhike down to California, and then his tanks there. He was part of the 70th Heavy Tank Battalion. He was in medium tanks. He was 70th Medium Tank Armored Reconnaissance Regiment. He was a reconnaissance tank. And he would go out in front with his other tankers. I'm going to try and read you one of the letters that he sent home. He wrote these letters to my father. He never, like, you know, you say, dear such and such. He never did that. Says, guess what? The darn people are having us doing nonsense. We had to fall out every morning at 6:30 for police call, which means picking up butts, cigarette butts. And they, it's hard to read this. He wrote very poorly. Fall out at 6:30. It have to be put. Oh, we had to put on a clean uniform every day and shine our shoes. In the evening, we stand retreat. Why me? I did some cussing here. Have been so far. Oh, he says the people down here have been so far from the front that they forgot there's a war going on. The recon platoon, which he was in, was up on the line, but since they have pulled us back in July, while been up there, we've been up there twice. If that's all they have for us to do, they can send me home just any day now, Eldred. So that's the first letter he sent home from the war. He was, on other things, he was talking about how they just didn't understand, the people in the rear just didn't understand how violent it was up on the front, how the fighting was so intense up on the front that he didn't like him very much in the back from other things that we've been heard, you know. And so there was a big a big push going on that his company, tank company, was involved in. And they sent the recon platoon out, which, like he said, he was involved with in the recon. And they sent them out with the infantry. And they were pushing the Chinese back. They were fighting the Chinese and the North Koreans by this time. And as they were going out on these roads, a bunch of their tanks got blown up by landmines that the Chinese and the North Koreans had planted on the roads. And a lot of his tanks were blown up, and they had to get them out of the way so they could go forward. And then there was, my grandmother would send him letters, my dad would send him letters, and then all of a sudden there was no more letters coming. And Grandma sent a letter to him, but just before that they got a I have the original Western Union papers here that they sent them. Grandma was by herself at home when the taxi cab driver came and gave her this Western Union. It says, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest R. Simmons, Myrtle Creek, Oregon. It's really torn and battered. The Secretary of the Army has asked me to express his deep regret that your son, Corporal Simmons, Eldred R., has been missing in action in Korea since 16 October 1951. Upon receipt of further information in this office, you will be advised immediately. Paid confirmed letter follows. W. Bergen, Major General, U.S. Army, Adjutant General of the Army. That's kind of a hard way to find out that your son is missing in action. My cab driver come and given my grandma a Western Union, and they couldn't find the tank company. We come to find out later that they were overran by the Chinese and the North Koreans. And so I think this letter came on, I don't know, it's got to have a time date on it. No, it doesn't. The first one that doesn't have the day it was given to Grandma. Okay. But then they got a second one. It says, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest R. Simmons. This was sent to him on January 12th. The Secretary of the Army has asked me to express his deep regret that your son, Corporal Simmons, Eldred R., was killed in action in Korea. Date unreported, period. In an unreported period, he was previously reported missing in action 16 October 1951. Confirming this letter follows William E. Burgeon, Major General, U.S. Army, the Adjutant General of the Army. So they were missing quite a while before they found them. And from what I've been told, there was only one person survived. I think there were six tanks. I think there were six tanks in the company, 4 to 6 tanks. And they were all, you know, beaten. And there's one guy, one trooper, was wounded really, really bad. And by the time they found him, he was just nothing. I don't know how he stayed alive all that time. My grandpa and grandma and some of my dad's younger sisters and brothers, and then he packed us up, and we drove back to Missouri, where my Uncle Eldred's buried, because that's where my family came from, was Missouri. And I have a very small memory of that day that we went to his funeral. I remember we walked into the funeral home, and down at the very bottom was a casket with an American flag on it. And I remember just staring at it. And then I remember my dad and my Uncle Tom, who had both been my dad was a forward recon with the 34th Infantry Division, Cavalry Recon, during the war. My Uncle Tom, he was in the 4th Infantry Division during World War II. But they didn't think that was my Uncle Eldred in that casket, so they were trying to look to find a way to open it. But you know, the undertaker came and said, "Yeah, you can't do that. Get it, you know, yeah." And that's all I remember of that. I don't remember taking this casket out to the graveyard. I don't remember that at all. But I do. I did one time go to visit my family in Missouri, and I went to Coloma Graveyard, where he's buried, and they have the Army provides a headstone. It's a flat headstone, and it has all the information on it, the date of birth, the day he died, and all of that. But I know they're on February 11th, 1962. He died in 51. It says, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest R. Simmons, General Delivery, Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Simmons, dear Mr. and Mrs. Simmons, I am referring to the letter from this office concerning the death of your son, Corporal Eldred R. Simmons. The records of this office are being amended to conform to the supplementary report which has been received, stating that your son was killed in action on 16 October 1951 in Korea. My continued sympathy is with you in the sorrow that has come to you. You have suffered a great loss, but may you always find comfort in the realization that he died in our country's cause. And sincerely yours, William E. Bergen, Major General, U.S. Army, that Adjutant General of the Army. And that was the last thing they got. You know, he died in 51, and to this day, we always... Oh, one thing he still had his knife that my father had given him. And when they sent home his belongings, the knife went to my dad, and I have it at my house now, that Uncle Eldred carried on him when he was in the Korean War, when he died. And, you know, that was so many years ago, but, you know, we still think about it. I know so many families of World War II and Korea and Vietnam, World War I, they're gone. None of the World War II vets are, you know, dying off pretty fast. Ty, why don't you go ahead and play that second song for me, please? So I'd appreciate it. Here we go.
Soldiers of peace are not fighting the war, are not looking for enemies behind every door, are not looking for people to kill or to maim. The soldiers of peace are just changing the game. Men who were fighting for all of our lives are now fighting for children, for homes and for wives, fighting for the memory of all who fell before. But the soldiers of peace just can't kill anymore. Still hear the cries when the people were screaming, losing their lives, when bodies were broken and spirits were torn. But the soldiers of peace do not want you to mourn. So come on, you warriors who live for the
That's a really good song. I really like it. I want to read one more letter that Uncle Eldred sent from Korea. It's like I said before, he never started a letter with "Dear anybody." It says, "Say, what do you think of the Wheels and their peace talks. Wheels, he means, you know, the generals and everybody. I would like... sounds like we got the worst of the deal, doesn't it? One of these fine days, we are going to wake up, find old Joe, and then a slang fun word that they call the Chinese, coming across these hills after us, and then they'll think of peace talks. Well, guess I'd better close for now. Thanks again for the stationery. Write soon. Love, Eldred. And that was his last letter. He also said that he got one letter that I don't have. I don't know what happened to it. Dad probably never just saved it. That he told my daddy, he says, I'm going to send you the $10 you loaned me before I left. And that he said that he writes to Grandpa and Grandma a lot. So when he was talking about the Chinese coming across those hills, well, that's what they did. And that's when he got killed. But I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I want to talk about this guy that Trump the tramp, has got for his Secretary of Defense. His name is Pete Hegseth. He is an Iraqi and Afghanistan veteran, but he is right wing. He has a real problem with alcohol. And he's been accused of sexual assaults. And when he was in front of the Senate, he just didn't answer any of those questions that they were asking him about it. He was very snarky in his answers, you know. He says, we need somebody in this job that has dust on their boots, you know. He's very right-wing, very, very right-winger. And he's just too unstable mentally. He's definitely suffering from PTSD. There's just no doubt in my mind, you know. And he's really, really... wouldn't be a good Secretary of Defense, if there's such a thing as a good one. And the one question they asked him that really bothered me a lot, they asked him, you know, if he's Secretary of Defense and the so-called president told him to shoot protesters in their legs, would he do it? Because Trump tried to do that during his first term. He wanted the military to shoot protesters in their legs. You know, we didn't hear that till, you know, late, a long time after that. And he just would not answer that question. Would he shoot protesters? Would he have his troops shoot protesters in their legs? He just wouldn't. He wouldn't answer that question. He just wouldn't do it. Just wouldn't do it. That bothers me a lot. And I text my friend Joe Lewis. And Joe Lewis was one of the young children at Kent State in 1970 when the National Guard shot him. Joe was the first one they shot. They shot him in his stomach by his hip, and then they shot him in the ankle. They shot and killed four young students. They shot and wounded about 11 people, I think. and Joe was one of them. He texted me back and he said that he was 70 feet from him when they shot him. Then the other ones that were shot and killed were farther back. Just kids. I want to tell you that my Uncle Eldred, who was killed in Korea that I've been talking about, was 19 years old. He was 19 years old when he died. He was that age that those kids at Kent State were shot. 19. And the rest of it, he talked about... He's such a nice guy, Joe. He wasn't very happy with this guy at all. When I told him about them shooting students and that they wanted to shoot protesters in the legs, and Joe was upset about that, and he talked about his friends that were killed, and he talked about his good friend Jim Russell, who they moved from Kent, from Ohio, they moved out here to Oregon. They brought their families out here to Oregon. And Jim Russell was the friend. And Jim Russell, I think he was working on his graduate program. I'm not sure. But he was farther away. He wasn't in front of the National Guard. He was to the right and farther away than Joe was. And they turned, one of the National Guard guys turned and shot him. Shot him in the leg, and then tried to shoot him again and hit him in the face with some, he thought it was buckshot from a shotgun. He was trying to get into one of the dorms when he got shot. But this guy wants This is the kind of people that Trump wants in his government. Just, if you just look at all these people that he wants in his government, it's just pathetic. I'm sorry, my computer just died. It's not died. Had to buy a new one. The other one just went crazy. But, you know, I keep thinking about, you know, what are these children going to be after this complete... I don't trust the Israelis at all. They're going to come up with some reason that they're not going to go by this signed peace agreement. From the time the agreement was brought out to the public and been voted on, Israel, the Zionists, still bombed Palestine and killed people. A lot of women and children have died in this filthy, filthy war. And the military budget of the United States of America, with a K, is $85 billion, $850 billion. And we have one of our senators, Jeff Merkley, has done some really good speeches on Gaza. If you go on YouTube and you put in Senator Jeff Merkley, you'll hear him talk about it, you know, about this sending all this money and everything to Israel. He will listen to us. He has some really good stuff. And he does have an office here in Portland, the phone number for him at his office here in Portland is 503-326-3386. So, and the office is at 121 Southwest Salmon Street, Suite 1400, it says. I don't know if that's right, but you'll see it when, you know, if you go up to the Salmon Street Auditorium. Over 46,000 Palestinians have died, but that number is going to go up way higher when they start rehabilitating. Why isn't in this peace thing that Israel, the Zionists in Israel, the Israel government, doesn't pay reparations to Palestine, to Gaza? Israel got a bunch of money from Germany after the war to help Israel build itself up. After the war, they got reparations from Germany. What happened to our Jewish brothers and sisters in World War II is horrible. Horrible what happened to those people. But that doesn't give them the right to do it to somebody else. It doesn't give them the right. The Palestinians have been under the jackboot of Israel since 1948. And those people were completely ran out of their houses. Their villages were torn down. They owe the people of Palestine reparations for what they've done. Again, I want to thank everybody for donating money to our wonderful radio station. You can still donate by going to kbo.fm. And at the top, there'll be a little thing that says donate. You can go there and donate. Or you can do like I do. I send a check to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. I just hope that this slaughter will stop soon, that our sisters and brothers in Palestine can get that relief of knowing that they're not going to be bombed to nothing by American bombs that we sent. Israel has, the U.S. and other countries have got to take the Israelis' right to control the electricity that goes into Palestine, the water that goes into Palestine. They need to leave the food distribution alone. They should have no control over anything in Palestine, nothing. Because there's a whole bunch of Uncle Eldreds there in that country. A whole bunch of them. And those kids are going to grow up and think just like I do. Just like a bunch of us veterans think. Well, we'll be back on February 21st at 9 a.m. And there it is. Thank you, Ty. I appreciate it, buddy. So, I'm trying to get this done. There we go. I will see you again on the 21st of February. Down by your graveside, and I'll rest for a while in the warm summer sun. I've been walking all day, Lord, and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you were only 19.
when you joined the glorious fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died quick, and I hope you died clean. Or Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the five lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And did you leave a wife for a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory and shine? And though you died back in 1916, to that loyal heart are you always 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, forever enshrined behind some glass pane in the old photograph torn and tattered and stained and fading to yellow in a brown leather frame? Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Well, the sun's shining now on these green fields of France. The warm wind blows gently and the red poppies dance. The trenches have vanished long under the plough. No gas and no barbed wire, no guns firing now. But here in this graveyard it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses in mute witness stand to man's blind indifference to his fellow man and the whole generation who were butchered and damned. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lonely? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lower you down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And I can't help but wonder, Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? You really believe that this war would end war? The suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing, the dying, it was all done in vain. For Willie McBride it all happened again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Did they beat
beat the drums slowly. Did they sound the five lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the
I am no mermaid. when last I climbed Reunion Hill. I fell asleep on Indian Boulder and dreamed a dream I will not tell. I came home as a sun.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. If you're able, please go to kboo.fm/give to make a contribution in support of the critical work of community radio. Thank you.
It seems like recently